So we have been, since the beginning of the year, we have been in God's Great Story, the series. And today specifically, we are in the book of Numbers. And it is a great, like, book of the Bible, the book of Numbers. One of the things that we have been seeing throughout this series in God's Great Story, it's this common thread and theme. The Bible, it's the great story of God doing the unexpected for the undeserving through the least expected. And we have seen that, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and even in the book of Numbers, that could be like, kind of like, you know, a boring, like, reading some of those books. But God is working his story. And we see as well, you know, that God, he continues to bless his people. He is, you know, continuing to fulfill the promises that he gave Abraham and his descendants that, you know, reach out to all of us here this morning. And here are some of the promises that God promised to Abraham. And he has, throughout our reading, he has been fulfilling those promises. He would give them a land, and we'll see part of that today. He said that he would make them numerous, and he has. I mean, as you read the book of Numbers, you know, there is a count there and how big in numbers that they became, that God would bless them, and God has been blessing them in so many ways. And also that all the nations of the world would be blessed through them, this little nation called Israel. And that has been true as well. And again, if we could like do a summary of the books that we have read so far, if Genesis was a book about God blessing his people, if Exodus was a book about God saving his people from slavery, if Leviticus was a book about God's law for his redeeming people, the book of Numbers, it's a book about God. Are we there yet, God? It's a book about, like, you know, where is that land? Where is that full package, you know, that you have promised us through our father Abraham? So we see, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Bible Project, but they do a good job doing a summary of each books of the Bible. And if you are not familiar, I would love to invite you. And there is one that it's like 5 minutes, I believe, and they do a summary of the book of Numbers, and I would like to play that for us. So the book of Numbers, it is a great, great book, and there are so many things that we can learn. But for the rest of our time, I would like to focus in this one story that it is a great story. We saw a little bit of that story being told in the summary there. But I think there is also a story that has practical applications to our lives. And this is the story in Numbers 13. And it is the story of the spies. It's the story of them exploring the land. So if you don't mind, just chapter 13, we're going to read and I'm going to jump because it's a big chapter as well. But here are some verses for us to understand. Numbers 13, 1 to 3, it says this: "The Lord now said to Moses, 'Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 tribes.' So Moses did as the Lord commanded. He sent out 12 men, all tribe leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. All of them were leaders in the tribe of Israel." Then jumping, you know, they list the tribes there, and jumping to verse 17, it says, "Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country, see what the land is like, find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many, see what kind of land they live in, is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls, or are they unprotected like open camps? And then verse 20 and 21, is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see. And it happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near Leboth Hamath. And then jumping to verse 23, when they came to the valley of Skull, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes so large that it took like two of them to carry it on a pole between them. They also brought back samples of pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Skull, which means cluster, because of the cluster of grapes that they brought. And then jumping to verse 25, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they seen and showed them the fruits that they have taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it was indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produced, but the people living there, they are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified, and even we saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. In verse 30, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other man who had explored the land with them disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we travel through and explore will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought of us too. And that is, in a nutshell, that's like chapter 13 of the book of Numbers. And this is a great story here. And it's amazing to see, you know, of the 12 that were sent, it's amazing to see the two groups and the report that they brought. It's amazing to see what the 10 had to say about their exploration journey. And the twos, you know, the two, Joshua and Caleb, had to say. It's important to remember here that, you know, the people of Israel at this point now, in the past 1 year, they had seen like many miracles done by the Lord. And here's a list of them. You know, they saw the 10 supernatural plagues. They saw that. They witnessed that. They saw the Passover with the blood around the door and how God saved their lives with that. They saw the Egyptians just giving them all kind of possessions after they were in awe of what God was doing to them. They saw the supernatural crossing of the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud at night, the pillar of fire during the night and the cloud during the day to guide them. They saw water coming out of the rock. They saw manna and they saw like quail, you know, the provision that God gave for food in the desert. All that in the past 1 year. They were able to witness that. And that was not enough for them to believe that God was going to continue to be faithful to what he promised. That God said, I will bless you, I will make you numerous, I will enrich you in many ways, and God have done that, and I have a land that I'm going to give it to you, but they could not believe that. And as we read in Numbers 13:2, you know, right in the beginning of the book, it says that, you know, they were sent to explore the land of Canaan, But it was a land that the Lord has already decided that he was going to give it to them. So God has already like set that land, Canaan, apart for their possession. And even if we, you know, when you're reading the story, you know, some of us, we may think like, you know, why God would like send them into this journey to spy the land? Why would he, you know, scare them with the sights that they saw there? Actually, when you go to the book of Deuteronomy, you will see in chapter 1 that even the idea of spying the land, it was the people's idea. They were the one that thought it was a good idea for them to go ahead. They knew that God was going to give to them, but they thought like, let me see what you are about to give to us. Not trusting God. And they send the spies, and that sending of the spies, it was actually like a fruit of their own unbelief. They would not take God's word that the land was good, and that he would, without fail, put them in possession of it. They could not trust that that pillar cloud and that pillar of fire would show them the way to the promised land. But they rely in their wisdom instead of God's wisdom. And the thing that it said is that, you know, God, he had already spied that land. He had already gone before them, and God knew that that was the piece of land that he was going to give them for them to be established. But they decided to use their own sight, and they saw the situation that they were in, and they decided not to trust that God was going to go before them. And as a result of their unbelief, they wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and they were not allowed the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. And I love, here was their excuse, you know, number 13:33. I love this verse here. There are giants in the land, and we are just grasshoppers. And here is a point where, you know, I think there is some great applications to our own lives, because, you know, we live in a world where there is dangers. We are in this world in a journey as well as Christians. We know that God is preparing for us, you know, a Canaan type of thing, right, in the future, a celestial city. It's what God's word said. It's what we read at the end of the book. But it's amazing that in this world, we do face giants. That in this world, sometimes we feel like little grasshoppers, right? In the sight of the many giants that sometimes we have to face. And it's amazing to see here how easy it is to be taken by unbelief. Even after seeing God doing like so many amazing and miracle things. And it's the same in our lives. As we look in the past and we have seen God done like tremendous things in our lives, it is easy in the present. It is easy in a few days to come to be taken by a heart of unbelief and to distrust God's direction in our life. It's amazing how easy it is to have the same attitude as the 10 spies, you know, and they were the majority. And sometimes, you know, it's easy to go with the majority with an attitude of like, yeah, I know that, you know, God said he was going to give us that land, but there is giants there and we are very little. We are grasshoppers. It's so much easy to walk by sight than to walk by faith. But that's not what God is calling us, right? I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that it says that, for we live, you know, the other word here, it's walk. We live by believing and not by seeing. What was the problem with the 10 spies? They were relying on sight. They were relying on what they saw, what they heard, what they could touch, what they could taste. But God wanted them to rely on trusting him. It was a land that he already promised years before that he was going to give to them. But they were relying on their own sight. And God is the same thing in our lives. He wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, it is, you know, naturally speaking, it is hard, it is challenging to see things like Joshua and Caleb saw. By the way, the name Joshua means salvation. The name Caleb means all heart. So here are these two guys, salvation that the God was going to bring, and Caleb, which was like, we are on this with our whole heart. But it's hard. It's hard. But this was their attitude. This was how they saw the situation. Numbers 13, verse 30, it says, you know, they said, we should by all means go up and we should take possession. Why? Because God had already given them that land. We should take possession, for we will surely overcome. And you know, probably Joshua and Caleb, they saw the giants there. They saw that they were strong people. They saw that the cities were large and they were fortified. But they were directed there by God. God gave them that city. And they were like, let's just go and take possessions. You know, instead of seeing themselves as grasshoppers, they saw those giants there as grasshoppers in the eyes of the Lord. That's how they saw them, the giants there. And they decided, we are not going to fix our eyes in how big they are, but we're going to tell them how big our God is. And this is a great application in our lives. How many times, you know, we come to God telling him, God, but I have this giant problem in front of me. God, I have this giant person as a problem in front of me. God, I have this huge gap that I don't know, I you know, what to do with. Instead of telling, you know, those problems, those giants, how big our God is. So the problem that they had, you know, the Israelites as a whole, it's the same problem that we could have in our lives daily as well. You know, it's the problem of distrusting God. It's the problem of unbelief, right? We all have. It's so easy to be taken by a heart of unbelief. But I love what God's word tells us about that. I love the encouragement that we get from God about the possibility that we all have for distrusting him, for, you know, letting a root of unbelief grow big in our hearts. I love Hebrews 13:12. It says this, see to it. Pay attention, brothers and sisters. Imagine if God was here today telling us through his holy word, pay attention, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns you away from the living God. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I need to hear that. Why? Because there is so much from time to time unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief, of distrusting that God will come true, of, you know, not looking back and seeing how faithful he has been, but looking forward and going like, wow, there's giants everywhere. I can't do anything. I can't move. I'm not going to go. I'm going to run from God. And that's what they wanted to do. They want to go back to Egypt. They were complaining with Moses and Aaron, and they were like, we had food in there, and here we look where we are. And sometimes, you know, it's the same play in our lives as well. We see our problems, we see our giants. And our eyes and our sights are just going, you know, in this direction here. And sometimes we forget that our eyes is to be looking up. We forget how easy it is to have a heart. And that's, I love that summary, you know, because we look back at these Bible stories that we hear and we learn so much from each one of them. We do. And we are supposed to. And the verse goes on, Hebrews goes on in verse 13 to 15. And it says this, but instead of allowing a heart of unbelief, brothers and sisters, let's encourage one another daily. And folks, I don't know about you, but every Sunday when I come, I am encouraged by some of you. Even today, you know, even today, just hearing the testimonies, it broke me to hear Braden's mom saying, the good news for me, it's Good News Church. It has been the good news for many of us as well. Encourage one another as long as it is called today, so that none of you and all of us, we can be in the same, you know, unbelieving heart streak that they were, that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And sin is so deceit, isn't it? It traps us so, so easy. And that's why we need one another. That's why I need to, you know, have like a group around me that when they see me walking towards the precipice, you know, that they will come and slap me, you know, that they will say like, hey, don't do that. What are you doing? I want to encourage you. God will be faithful. Remember, he has been faithful in the past. He is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's going to be faithful. So don't give up. Don't let your heart be taken by this root of unbelief, but believe, trust, keep trusting. Don't let you be deceived by sin. As just have been said, verse 15, today and today, really, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the day of rebellion. And who they are talking here? In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, they are talking about our brothers and sisters in Numbers, in the desert, following God to the promised land. And then the verse goes on, verse 16 and 17, it says, Who are they who heard and rebelled? Were they not those that Moses led out of Egypt? And they saw the miracles that God performed. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perish in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. And see, unbelief, distrust in our lives prevent us from experiencing the best that God has for each one of us. And sometimes in our lives, you know, we are so close, just like they were, to the promised land. But if we allowed distrust, root of unbelief, we may not experience the blessing that God has just around the corner coming our way. It's just a matter of like waiting, persevering. And that's what Hebrews 10, and I'm coming to an end here. Hebrews 10, it says this, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded by the Lord. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And I love this verse. I love the development of this verse. Do not throw away your trusting, relying on God, because he will reward you for that. He will. He's faithful. He will fulfill his promise. But you need to persevere. You know, I don't know what kind of giants that you are facing right now, brothers and sisters. I know that all of us, we are. Could be health, could be finances, could be people so close to us. Do not throw away your trust in God. God will honor you on that. What you need to do is to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And then verse 37 and 38 says, "For in just a little while, he who is coming will come, and he will not delay." And this is a look that we have towards the future, towards the end of our journey, towards the entering in the promised land that God has for each one of us. The one who promised, he is coming, and he is not going to delay. But in the meanwhile, he is calling and he's inviting us. "But my righteous one will live by faith. The just shall live by faith." So in our own like pilgrimage that we are, in our own like journey of life that we are in this world, until God lead us to our Canaan, you know, for those that like C.S. Lewis, he talks about our canon, our celestial city, as the onward and upward and Narnia and to the north, right? And we believe that with our whole hearts. We have two options to choose from: to live in this world as a victim of unbelief. And let me tell you, the majority is in that bucket. And it's so easy to be part of that majority. Or are we going to trust God and be heroes of the faith? Hebrews 11 talks about the heroes of faith. They were people just like us, humans just like us. They were not like the verse that we read about God, who is not a human. He cannot lie. We are. But they believed. They trust God. When they have, and we all do, hearts of evil, hearts of unbelief, we can go to God and we can confess to God. We can open up our hearts and say, "God, please forgive me. I have been distrusting your power in my life, your love to carry me through to the end. Please forgive me." And sometimes that's all that it takes to come to our Father as a child with a repentant heart, and to say, "Father, I am sorry. I am sorry for not believing, for distrusting. I can list the many things that you have done, but still I gave space to a root of unbelief. Please forgive me." And the word of God says that he is faithful to forgive us and to clean us and to put us forward in the journey to come. God is faithful to lift you up, to forgive you of your past wrongs, to give you power, to give you the Holy Spirit, to give you a group of people to support you, that you give them permission to encourage you as we go marching on until we see him in our own canon. And I want to leave you with this verse. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It's Rachel and I. It's our favorite verse we use in the gift that we gave to people that came to our wedding. And this was what we heard from God that faithful is he who called us. This journey sometimes looks crazy, the journey of faith. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. I remember, you know, kind of fighting because in my own senses, I thought I had a better plan for my life that God did. But then here came the confirmation. Faithful is he who called you, and he will also do it. He will also do it. Faithful is he who called each one of us. And the promise that we have from him is that he will be the one doing it. Don't worry about the giants. It's God's problem. It's God's problem. Ours is to believe and to keep him marching on until the bright day that we'll see him face to face. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for God's holy word. Again and again, Lord, we have these stories that we go back to and we read and we are reminded. We are reminded of your faithfulness. And here we are today, Lord, it's Sunday and you brought each one of us here and we are all in this journey. And you know better than everybody where we are at in our own journey. But Father, you are with us. You promised to be with us. And here we are today as we hear your word. We are opening up our hearts and we are saying, Father, thank you. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for getting our attention. Thank you for forgiving us our sins. Thank you for giving us a perspective of life that is way more higher than the one that we have. And thank you that you know from the beginning to the end, in the beginning, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Thank you. And Father, here we are, and we want to present ourselves to you as your child. As your little children, Father, we want to say, continue to take us by the hand so that we may continue to walk and to live by faith, by believing in a good, good God who is faithful to complete what he has started. Father, for all my brothers and sisters here today, bless us with this blessing. Seal us in our hearts that you are God and not man. You will not lie to us. You promise and you will fulfill. And for that, we are thankful. And that is very good news for us today.